Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimatum Wrap Up. I'm Asia and we are here to talk about the finale and the reunion that appeared on Netflix for season 2 of the Ultimatum. And I'm not here alone to talk about it, of course. I'm here with my awesome co-host, Mary Kowski. Mary, how are you?
Okay, on the count of three, we're going to lift up our cards and you're going to guess who my hall pass is. I mean, you know it's bad when they start playing the newlywed game. We got to pad some time. So we're going to play the newlywed game before we even reveal if they're all still engaged. It was like,
literally,
this was like, okay, kind of gave it away there, but all right.
Yes. And we are not here alone. We are here with an amazing podcaster and great friend of the Love at First Sight feed. Mm-hmm. Mari Porth. Mari, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here to talk about the ultimatum, marry or, you know, stay the exact same with no consequences at all. So I'm glad to be here to talk to you about, I guess, this show.
Yeah, hold on. Let me check my email. Oh, is that season 2? Oh, it's all described in one paragraph. Great. <Yes. laughs>
Bury that. This could have been an email.
Oh my God. Now it makes sense. While they dropped 8 episodes on Netflix and then, or 8 episodes in 1 week, and then They should have just dropped all 10. What was the point?
They should have just kept this in the vault and had it as a tax write-off, because I don't know. Ugh, this is not good. This was like pulling teeth. Normally, my dramatic love shows is not me like sitting here like, oh, I have like 4 more episodes to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost mad at you for making me watch episode 5 through 8. Because I thought I was going to be doing 5 through 8 just to watch episode 9 and 10. Like, this truly could have been an email. I'm upset, but I'm here.
I wonder if for this season, and if they continue making this show, it's like, I can't even be happy that we, spoiler alert, had 4 couples who got engaged and stayed together. And then one more who's together, but never got engaged, but they had a baby. I don't know. It's like... Mm-hmm. I feel like normally we'd be happy that all the couples got together. Like, wow,
we
look
should,
at that.
Good right?
But there was no drama, no drama at all. And it was at the point where I was wondering, like, people are just going to go on this show who have slightly contentious relationships, but with every intention of still getting engaged and just like play out the clock and take home their bag. Right. Like there's no
right.
This was not there was no suspense. No. I think that there was like maybe one couple we predicted like might not actually get together, and they did, but did they? They're engaged, but they don't wear the ring. Like,
yeah, they like this cast was boring with a capital B. Like, I have family from North Carolina. I was just in North Carolina. Let's not do this again. Like these people go to Miami. Like, go. We need like. Maybe New Orleans.
Is that what it is? It was the area.
Yes, it was the location. There's too many morals in this location, apparently. Like, these couples were not it. Like, not a rootable person in the bunch, to be quite honest. It was either I wasn't rooting for you, or I didn't like you, or I couldn't remember you. I actually have Antonio's name crossed out several times because I kept calling him everything but Antonio for the longest. Like it was so incredibly boring to me. I'm sorry. It was bad.
No, I caught myself legitimately typing. I was like, Suzanne said blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, there is no Suzanne. that is just a testament to how invested I was able to be in the season, which, I mean, we blinked. It's over, right?
It's over.
We wrapped this up in a week. We pushed out three podcasts in 1 week. But I just, they've got to look at this season and say, let's go back to the drawing board. Like, should we really do this again? Or should we go all in on queer love?
And commit that part.
Because that just was so good.
Yeah. We need like an all male season of Queer Love. Like we just need something interesting. And not to say that, like, I think season one of the Ultimatum was relatively interesting. And it was such an absurd premise, but like, it just didn't feel like anyone's, I mean, they all said their lives changed, but did they?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like anything was different.
Mm-mm. No.
But at least they had like more like different outcomes in the first one than this one. Like Asia said, none of these people were really committed to actually losing their loved one. I think the first batch, some people didn't mind. And again, using heterosexual couples, I think this proves that this is not good. Like, this doesn't work, because the moment you have one couple that's removed from the equation, and when we only have four couples, your options are greatly limited when you have heterosexual couples. Like the woman can only be with the man, and there's only four options, and here's your four options,
and the options are slim,
very very slim pickings. So I think that's why Queer Love worked so much better, because they had better options. They had bigger opportunities to do more different swaps, you know, emotional intelligence, all of that good stuff. Like not having that societal fear of like heterosexual norms, you know, it made them freer to opening up to other people. Like this was just not it. And also, it could just be like, again, there's no actual true matches. Like you guys said last week, there was no chemistry in any of those trial couples.
Even at that point, they had five people, so four other people to go on dates with at before Brian and Lisa left. You know how many dates I've been on in the last couple of years? Like, if I only had five options, you know where I'd be? The same place I'm at right now. Like,
it makes sense.
People are choosy. You know, it's like you're not going to necessarily find someone when it's just like, hey, here's four other people who are in the same bad relationship that you're in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So before we dive into both these episodes, make sure you go subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. That's where you can get all of the podcasts about the Ultimatum. Even just go, if you want to just cleanse your palate, go rewatch the Ultimatum Queer Love. If you did not hear our coverage of that, we did cover the Ultimatum Queer Love. It was a great season. And then we also have our Love is Blind coverage, Married at First Sight, the show Perfect Match. So make sure you go subscribe and give us a 5-star rating and review if you really enjoy this podcast. And then also we are on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel. So if you are listening to audio only, you could be looking at us if you are watching on YouTube. So let's take a couple minutes to review the finale, you know?
Sure.
Just like, why not? What?
I mean, I look, when I clicked on the link and it said 30 minutes, I was like, oh, this is good. There it is. Hey, no drama there. Let's see. Who'd they even start with? Well, they started with Raya and Trey, because we kind of already saw their like getting ready. And
can we say, why not start it? Why not have the cliffhanger be when he proposed and then she's like,
oh boy, oh boy.
That would have been a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because they were also one of the few, I think they might have been the only people who, like, Trey says his reasons why he wants to be with her and gets down on one knee and proposes before she says anything, and then she's going to respond to it. So that would have been a good place to cut it off. All the other couples sort of like exchanged words first before the proposal, so that it was pretty clear going into the proposal they were probably going to say yes.
Yeah, there was no tension in this at all. I was literally watching this and playing Hitman at the same time. My notes for this are 1, 2, it's a line each person. Like, so-and-so proposes, they say yes. So-and-so proposes, she says yes. So-and-so proposes, she says yes. I think I wrote yawn next to Alex proposes to Kate. Like, honestly, boring.
This is how, so remember their really big conflict about whether or not she was going to go to the city or whatever? He proposes and then they say, yeah, we're just going to make decisions together. She's going to go to the city or whatever. And then we'll have the wedding after that.
They're just going to wait. Yeah, they're just going to be engaged long distance until she comes back. And then let's say I was so invested. Right. And I'm just like, OK, how are they going to make it work? Did she go to the city? I'm on the edge of my seat at the reunion to see what the verdict is. They never talked about it. It's like, that's their only storyline.
Is she in the city? Have we done a Instagram check?
Instagram check.
Like, I mean, what's her? What is her location?
Say Atlanta.
All right. Let's see. Location doesn't say.
This is primo podcast.
It says Charleston still.
let me just say, like, so the format is broken, right? Because. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think about the first ultimatum. Like, the first ultimatum, we didn't get this many proposals, you know? And I feel like you could just, like, not propose, you know, if you don't want to.
Because we also, this is the first, if we count all three seasons of the ultimatum, this was the first one where a trial marriage couple didn't meet up. So, yeah. Like, we even had, first season, Ray and Jake. And then last season, Yoli and Xander. Mm-hmm. But this one, it was like, oh, no, everybody, no one cares about their trial marriage.
It could have been on different days, for all we knew. Like, these proposals. So, there's nothing.
And the atmosphere of this one was so somber. It was
told me that because you started it before I did. You were like, this is a somber
It felt so like, I'm like, are y'all taking yourself seriously? Like, why? Why would you take yourself seriously for this absurd premise? And that feeling kind of went into the reunion for me as well. Like, did y'all notice? Like, I really noticed there was not much music in the background. It was a lot of empty space and dead air. And it felt like everybody was whispering. I was like, what is happening right now?
Specifically James.
Vanessa Lachey, too.
It was hard to sense any dead air because I had it on 1.75 speed.
There it is.
Like, you're like, it's moving.
Yeah. After I watched all of the Big Brother seasons in 1 year and I watched them all in like 1.5, I was watching Big Brother live when I first got into it. And I was like, why are they walking so slow? Why is everyone so lethargic?
You probably thought everybody were comp bees.
Yeah. Like, man, these competitions fly. Right. Yeah. So let's see. Ryan and James, he's always known it was going to be her.
Since high school,
you know, 4 years ago. So.
But anyway, it wasn't until someone else had their eyes on her.
I just truly believe that they just don't want to say it. But with them, it's just they're young and like they just now's the first opportunity when they could. I don't understand why they're on this show. There is no way. I disagree. There is no way they applied for this show. Like they had to just like if they applied, it was like, oh, hey, so we're going to get engaged. But like, let's just go on. It's like House Hunters. Like, I would not be surprised if this turns out to be just like a huge. They got a bunch of people who are already engaged. And
oh, yeah.
Reverse.
Oh,
I don't know. Anyway,
that could be it.
Yeah, so he proposes. And
it's 38 degrees, but he's still sweating. It's a lot of nothing. Kat and Alex, they are engaged now. And even him saying, like, leading into it, them getting ready, right?
He says, so nervous.
Yeah, he's like, I need someone who challenges me. What changed? All of a sudden she challenges you, or?
He learned you just don't care about that anymore. She can be challenging in a quiet way.
Yeah. And when she said like she didn't know who she was without him, I was like, yikes,
that's not good.
Yeah, she says she met him, she was a little lost, and he's helped her to become a better person. In what possible way has that happened?
You know what, maybe there was just so much we didn't see. Like, maybe there's all this progress that wasn't aired. They couldn't fit it in for some reason.
They couldn't fit it into these 30-minute episodes.
I just want to hope that they're just not making up stuff and Kat's just like, oh, he's my dream guy.
The editor this season was like, boy, like going through all the footage, like, this is boring enough.
They're like, did y'all lose anything? Did somebody's hard drive get erased? Because how am I supposed to make this a season?
I do have some things to say about Kat, but it was more in the reunion. Let's see. Roxanne and Antonio. Oh, this is the big twist, because let me tell you, they blew through those first three in the first 20 minutes and then spent 12 minutes on Roxanne and Antonio. Antonio's freaking out. He isn't sure if she'll say yes. She keeps saying that she wants Antonio to find happiness, like, no matter what happens. She said it like 6 times. So like, it does feel like you're setting him up for a no. But she's crying. She's overwhelmed. He proposes. She says, you know, I'm effing terrified. But then she nods and he's like, you have to say yes. I really think that she was trying to get away with just the nod.
And then later say, I never said yes.
I never said yes. Yeah. Oh, and that was it. Yay. He's like, proposals.
Isn't that your dream proposal, Antonio? You have to ask her to say yes.
Like, I understand that I don't know these people or live in their relationships. But there is an element that's like, Antonio, don't you want someone who this is not going to be just fighting a battle with like every day to get the things you want?
You would think.
This podcast seems very pro Antonio to me.
It's not that I'm pro Antonio. It's more that I just feel like he seems like such a whiny guy, but it's also just like, he can't seem to read the room when it's like, I want you to say that you love me. Well, I'm not sure that I'm going to do that. Okay, well, I guess I'll just be with you anyway. It's like, or you could go be with someone who's okay saying that. Like,
I just think he doesn't want to be single. I think that's what it boils down to.
About to say, when you're a practicing homosexual, you can't really choose who you are living with or dating. I'm sorry. I feel like I don't know. Maybe I got the wrong impression from me half watching these episodes, but he feels like a leech onto her side. I'm like, all the things she says about him and what he does during the day. I know you guys are like, oh, she has impossible standards for him. But what else is he doing? What else is he doing?
I don't think she has impossible standards for him. It just seems so weird that like, I just don't get why they're together, because she's got this massive ambition, wants mm-hmm. him to have that, but he doesn't have it.
He doesn't.
So, yeah. So he's trying to chase that.
So she's trying to, yeah, he's trying to be that for her. She's trying to change him. They're just like,
not compatible.
Yeah, they're just not compatible. So I don't get why they're together.
It makes no sense. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm pro Antonio whatsoever. I think it's like, in this relationship, I just want him to have his own back. He's just like
backbone.
Have his own backbone. Yes. Because he's just allowing whatever. He's so afraid to lose her, because it seems like he knows mm-hmm. that she's out of his league mm-hmm. in terms of, like, if we think of like ambition, I guess. What'd you say?
Yeah, I said everything. Yes, come on.
So it's just like they could be on similar speeds in life. That's why I was actually wondering what it would have been like if he had tried to do his trial marriage with Raya. So I was like, she's younger. Mm. I could see them. They could possibly have a good time. And maybe he could see a relationship does not have to be you chasing the other person's ambition or yeah. chasing what the other person is doing. Like, even on the reunion, for them to talk about him opening up this car wash and doing some stuff with car details mm-hmm. and whatever, that kind of lost me. But he's like, yeah, this has always been her dream. And she's like, yeah, 10 years ago. It's like,
yeah. Like, nothing he does is gotta be good enough. So I just don't really.
Yeah. But it's one of those things. It's like, she hates the power imbalance, the financial imbalance, the ambition imbalance. However, she still wants to kind of be with somebody. And because of the imbalance, she can push him around like she does. Like, tell him she wants him to do this. Tell him she wants to do that.
She's not going to leave. Calling him her whipping boy.
Her whipping boy. Yes, exactly. Like, it's a catch-22. It's like, she wants to say she wants somebody who's more ambitious. She wants to say she wants somebody who can focus more. She wants to say she wants somebody who will probably match her energy. But also, she likes being in charge. You know, you could tell, like, she likes being in charge. She likes being the boss of things. So say if he actually does, like, grow a backbone one day, will she even actually like that? She probably won't. So it's a catch-22 with the two of them. It's just not a good match. What's it? Codependency. Yeah. Yikes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They had no business ending this in a proposal, but they did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody was surprised, including us. I was like, you gotta be kidding. When it ended, I was just mm-hmm. like, are you serious? Not that I'm not rooting for love, but we clearly we've seen the issues in their relationships, at least what we see on the show. And it mm-hmm. just seems like a lot of these couples went on to the show, and the show's concept forced them to propose earlier than they would have in their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, also, I'm sorry, before you move on, I'm so sorry, Mary. I did want to say, Asia, I was thinking the same thing you said last week. Didn't they try and, like, make it seem like in the trailer that Roxana and somebody else were going to hook up? They did. I literally, until the credits rolled, I was like, I'm confused. I thought they tried to make it feel sound like somebody had hooked up. I remember it was a night cam. She was like on top and it was like, you could just see long black hair. I remembered. And then it was nowhere. It was nothing.
Yeah. So someone DM'd me. They were like, yes, they did promote it that way, but it was Roxanne and Antonio.
They just wanted you to think that there could have been anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Like, we have something. No, that's just the 4-year relation, 2-year, whatever relationship. Mm-hmm. Invading on their privacy.
Wow.
And it's weird, like, what they show us and what they don't, because, like, I'll just say one of the clips from the reunion, they could have put that in the show, might have at least given us a little bit more insight into some characters, but we'll see.
So we'll save it. They winked at us, and so we'll save it for the reunion.
Yeah.
right. So the reunion. Okay. Vanessa and Nick Lachey. What? When Nick said, like, there's always something that makes me cringe. With Nick, it was at this moment, Nick's like, do we have any surprise pregnancies?
No.
And then gives it a beat to, like, look around. Like, what? No, what are you doing? Stop.
And you're only embarrassing yourself by offering to marry people. Jeff Probst, stop doing it.
Thank
Nick Lachey, Vanessa, stop doing it.
My Nick Lachey cringe, Nick Lachey and Vanessa cringe was when they were asking about hall passes, celebrity hall passes, and Vanessa Lachey offered up Nick Lachey.
Right. Not my husband, the absolutely famous Nick Lachey, who's sitting right here in front of you and would be super weird.
And he's like, no, aim higher. Here's my issue with this hall pass situation.
They are ridiculous. Okay.
Them having a celebrity hall pass is the equivalent of us being like, oh, but what about Chappelle?
Yeah. What's our podcaster hall pass? Like, it's
that's
weird.
A friend.
Those are your peers.
You, but, okay. Literally. But, and look, is it though? Because if their hall pass is like, I don't know, someone from The Real Housewives, maybe.
Oh.
But I'm saying, like, when she's saying Ryan Reynolds, I'm sorry, Vanessa Lachey is not getting with Ryan Reynolds. Like, come on. Like, that's a different.
She's an actress, like an though. It doesn't matter what list.
It does matter.
They're the same occupation.
They probably ran into each other at award shows.
Yes, they've been in the same crowds. Weird.
Yeah.
That's my issue. Is that that's your peer. Mm-hmm. She said, like, let's think far beyond her league. Let's say she was like Steph Curry or LeBron James or something like that. Maybe that's a little bit different. It just felt too close.
Yeah, like somebody out of the, yeah, they would have to do like normal person hall pass. Like, who's here? Mitch from accounting.
Mitch from accounting. Oh my gosh.
That one guy I saw at Target last week.
That's just called a crush. That's not a hall pass.
And then all got them debating the definition of hall pass. I was like, yikes. Stop
like,
it.
It's just someone that you want to flirt with. No, it's not, no. Vanessa. That's not what a hall pass is.
And did y'all notice how he didn't say who his hall pass was?
Oh, well, I noticed.
Smart man.
He's like, I know better.
Yeah, they actually didn't even ask any of the men.
All
the questions were very one-sided. I don't know if they did that for longer and they just realized there was a whole lot of nothing out of that, but
right. They like anyways. Named a bunch of people that we don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, no, she's this Instagram influencer. I follow her.
Yeah, Roxanne and Kat both like the guy from Peaky Blinders, who I thought was the guy from Oppenheimer. There must be a different guy.
No,
but that's
Cillian
not the
Murphy.
Name they said. They said
no,
a different
they didn't
name.
Know his name.
Kat knew his name, but mm-hmm. can't remember what she said it was.
Oh, they said mm-hmm. Tommy Shelby, right? Oh no, that is that's the character's name.
Character.
Okay, never mind.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Interesting hall pass. Okay, all right.
And then Lisa said, or Brian said, "Young Miami" for Lisa, who's a city girl.
Is she from the city, Atlanta?
She's from another city, Miami. Well, is
Miami.
She from Miami? Yeah,
I don't
she's
think
in Miami.
She?
Yeah, her name
oh, wait,
is Carisha.
Which one? Oh, yeah, Carisha's from
Miami.
Miami.
Yeah,
Carisha's
from
I thought you were asking if Lisa was from Miami.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't know.
No, but yeah, that was somebody I didn't know we'd ever be talking about on the ultimatum. Young Miami.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything else there. On that.
But
there was never going to be anything.
My issue though. Like, why did this game come up before we knew any of the statuses of it, like you said, any of the couples?
Because it gave it away. Because if they were broken up, we wouldn't have done this.
Let's keep things light and fun. Tell me about what your partner are y'all still together?
And they got him, and they got him all wrong. Anyways, like the first question, I forget what the first question was, but they got them all wrong. Like they didn't have matching answers. Like,
nobody knew each other,
which proves our point from the finale. But before that, Lisa and Brian came out, and so this has been because I know I talked about it on here. Like we found out the day she took the pregnancy test, supposedly. I mean, she could have taken it before, but they edited it as if we saw it the day of. And then she comes out and she's like, well, of course we had a baby boy. I'm like, of course, we don't know that.
So they even showed us clips of like the cast doubting the paternity or the baby actually being made, I was like, oh, like I was looking around. I was like, we don't say this out loud. You know what I'm saying? Like
Roxanne's excuse. Oh, we didn't know.
Yeah. And then they came out and I was like, okay, no baby bump. It's like, well, it's been 10 months. What have you guys been up to? And then she said, of course we had a baby boy. I was like, oh, thank God. Like,
I know. It was like, that was a roller internal emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mary, why you're are doing you? The math?
Why are
you 9 months?
Yeah, no, it was 10 months. Yep. Okay, we're good. Yeah.
And their baby's like only 7 weeks old or something like that at the time of filming. So
it checks out.
Yeah, good for her, snapback and all that.
So one of the big awkward moments from this segment was them talking about like Roxanne, you know, questioning it and stuff, whatever. And Brian ends up saying like, yeah, like we don't play that. We don't play that, right? Yeah, and Vanessa's like, we don't play that. I like that. What are you doing? I was just so cringe at many moments.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right. This is what bothered me. There were so many miscommunications. Like everything Kat and Roxanne said to each other, I'm like, it's like they're speaking a different language. Like they're saying one thing, they're like agreeing, but they're disagreeing. We'll get to them in a second. But Raya and Lisa had the same situation where Raya was like, I was just like a little upset about the way you called me out because we had sort of bonded over the fact that we both worked at Hooters and then you called me a Hooters bitch. And she's like, I don't regret it. I don't regret anything I said. And everyone's like, and then Antonio's out here trying to be like, I think what Lisa means to say is that like, cause she's a caring person and stuff. And she's like, nope, I don't care. I don't care about Raya. And it's
when
like,
what would she do to you? Raya is a better person than me. It would have been a couple of B words flying out of my mouth. The moment that Lisa was like, yeah, I said it. And I was like, hold my shoes, because what we're not going to sit here and do is act like you didn't disrespect me, call me out my name. And then you're just going to be like, yeah, it happened. It's like, okay, then now we're fighting.
Then the hard pivot when both Brian and Roxanne are like, well, maybe it was just because you were hormonal. And she's like, yeah, it was that. I was hormonal. That's the thing. Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say, is that I was hormonal. And so like, I don't necessarily have the same emotions now and feel the same way now. And I'm like, then just apologize to Raya.
I know.
It can't be both that you don't regret it, but you're also saying that you don't condone your actions at the time. Which is it?
Yeah.
I love that Raya pointed out. She's like, you know, there's like a 7-year age gap. So I just kind of thought, because like, she's 7 years
too nice. She's being too nice.
She was basically being like, wow, you are really immature about this whole thing. Especially because, look, I've seen enough of these dating shows to know that there are people that are like, what? Hey, stop hitting on my man. Raya was just having conversations with Brian. Like, yeah, he was her front runner, just like Lisa had a front runner and everybody else had a front runner. And it was the only, like, everybody else on the entire show, including Raya, was like, I feel like we all need to be really getting into this experience. But no, it's just Lisa who's like, how dare you?
She was calling her, like, fast to her face. She said, I thought you didn't love Trey at the time. I thought you weren't. I was like, and then when Antonio said something, I was like, thank you, Antonio, but also
Trey, anybody else.
Trey, yeah, where is Trey? Right there in my notes. Where is Trey? Because how are y'all letting Lisa Lisa talk to Raya like this, like in the middle of this reunion. And Lisa didn't say I'm sorry at all to her. Like, no, and as somebody who has been pregnant, I cannot say that while I was pregnant, I cussed somebody out so thoroughly like Lisa did. So that's all BS. Like, Lisa, I'm mad that she didn't, she didn't get humbled like she should have been, because that was so ridiculous the way she acted.
I'm mad that Brian didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I'm mad that Trey didn't try to defend Raya. Mm-hmm. It had to take random Antonio, who is not a part of this equation, to say, oh, we were all here for this experiment. Like, she's making it seem like she walked up to her in a bar.
Like, hit on her man. Or,
like, walked up to Brian like, hey, like, that was not the situation.
The way that every person on this cast, in the same breath, likes to say, I felt like you weren't close to your significant other, or you shouldn't be together, but you don't know anything about my relationship. The way that everybody said something like that. It's like, stop being so judgmental of everyone else's relationships without looking at your own first and hearing their words. Ridiculous. So anyway,
basically with them, it sounds like they're still not engaged. They said they're at least they're on the same page now. But isn't that more Lisa falling into Brian's page than them like meeting in the middle, figuring out how they're going to move forward?
Yeah, it's like y'all are at the same place. You just have a baby now. Congratulations. Like,
okay. Yeah.
You know what might be nice with that? A little bit of security for the child. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I get it. Not everybody who has a kid needs to be married, but if you're not going to be married, why are you still together? If you are together, what is it that you're waiting for to change? What is it that you're like, what growth needs to happen? I don't know.
I'm sure right now it's, oh, we got a newborn. Let's not even, why are we talking, like for Brian, why are we even thinking about that? Let's focus on him. Yeah. And then that's just further delaying the inevitable. If they are not compatible, they're not meant to be together. If he doesn't see her as his future wife,
I mean, they're locked in for 18 years, so.
Right. So, yeah, there we go. But they're still together. So I'm going to keep an eye out on Instagram. So we got into Roxanne and Antonio.
Oh, hold on. You forgot about the baby gifts.
Oh, God.
I don't remember them doing this for Madeline and Colby, but I guess they did.
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, I blocked that.
They didn't
out.
Do the pacifier though. They only did the sippy cup.
The silver pacifier and the silver wine glass with a lid and handles. Let's be honest.
Wow. Just way to make their baby about you, ultimatum.
Because it is. Like, this is Vanessa's baby that she is probably has some sort of legal authority over.
She probably asked them privately, can I be the godmom?
Yeah.
And they're like, we
don't know you. You weren't even there when we announced it. You weren't even on that episode.
They're like, this is our first time meeting you, actually.
Dang.
But yeah, so I wonder, you know, if we're going to see something with them or they're just going to fade out. We'll see. But with Roxanne and Antonio, so we talked about the car wash, but I feel like their other major plot line was the fact that they didn't seem like they liked each other very much. She doesn't want to wear her ring. She feels like it's possessive for the woman to wear a ring and not the guy. And even when provided suggestions from James and Ryan, they were like, oh, just give him a ring then. Then y'all can both wear a ring. She wasn't for it. I was like, so it's not that.
I am the resident Roxanne apologist, I believe here. Like, I did not like this segment. I felt like they were really going in on her, like, oh, you care more about your career. How not cool of you. Oh, you don't like having traditional wedding rings, or you didn't plan your wedding out as a girl. That's so weird. You don't think that's not weird? I'm like, oh, way to give into the patriarchy, everybody. Like, geez, wow.
I come in the middle when it comes to her. I feel like I think it's completely fine for her to care about her job. I think it's completely fine for her to not want to wear an engagement ring and to think that there are a lot of elements of that that are old fashioned and possessive. That being said, if you actually care about Antonio and he like is very hurt and he says he's hurt that she won't do it, that's when maybe you think about a compromise. Like, what if I wear it on a necklace? What if I wear it sometimes? What if I get you one and you both have one? Like, that's when you start
what
thinking
about this. What if I just wear the two other rings you gave me on different fingers or something? Or
on what if I wear it on a different finger? Like, I feel like there are, that's where I feel like it's not just that she, I don't know. If she put it out and she's like, look, my whole life, I've never wanted to wear an engagement ring. I will happily wear the wedding ring when we're both married, but this is kind of my thing. And he knew that going into this and we've talked about this, then that's one thing. But it just kind of seems more like it feels like she's like quiet quitting the relationship. Like, I don't know.
Oh my God. That's horrendous. I don't know. I just, as somebody who's really bad at like keeping jewelry on me, I lost my engagement ring. Luckily I have my wedding band and stuff like that. Like, maybe get tattoos if you really want to do it. Maybe just go to the courthouse. If she doesn't want a wedding, go to the courthouse. Like, what is it? It's because to me it sounds like maybe wedding, marriage, all of that scares her. Is it the finality of it all? Is that what scares her? Like the commitment? Like, it feels like there's something deep seated in there that is scaring her. And I don't necessarily think it's just like Antonio himself. Like, I don't think the end all be all is she doesn't want to be married to Antonio. She would be married to anybody else. I feel like there's some sort of trauma in there. What's going on with her parents? Are her parents are married for 30 plus years or something like that?
Yeah.
But see, sometimes that's the opposite effect, because they could be married for 30 plus years, but we don't know what that marriage is like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not speculating. I'm just saying that doesn't always translate to the kids wanting to be married like that. She could see it as literally a ball and chain, and it really like scare her. I feel like there's some sort of commitment phobia on her end, to me.
It very well could be, but I also feel like I totally understand the ring. Everybody can do things differently. Like, it is 2023. So it's weird for them to have those like antiquated expectations of her, right? But then that's something you talk about as a couple, and it seems like obviously they are on two different pages about this, because he's like, well, at first it was that the ring didn't fit, and so obviously this is something new that he's hearing. And I think as long as they're on the same page, then it makes sense. My thing is, I agree with you, Mary. I think she just isn't that into him, which is the problem. I feel like there's a piece of her that feels like she's settling. And you can just tell that through her language about everything. It just, there's a part of her that feels like just being with him. She's like, is she attracted to the potential that she thinks that, but even with him doing things now, she didn't seem happy about that.
How long have they been together?
I think 3 years.
Four years.
So it's been almost 5 years at this point, although it was on again, off again. But
So it's kind of like throwing away that time. I mean, I can see that she's not really that into him. I think she would have been the person that would have benefited the most from the ultimatum if she had partnered in the trial marriage with somebody she liked. Like, I think it would have really answered her questions about marriage versus marriage with Antonio if she had really been tested with somebody that she could have seen a potential future with. But because we got the plot twist of them, I was with you guys. Awful. Yeah, I was like, I literally thought they were like a great match those first two episodes.
Because they so gaslit us into thinking that in the beginning.
Yeah, weird.
Everybody was waiting for them to hook up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But so I
feel bad for them.
Yeah, same. I feel like this whole segment was very clear. She said she's marrying him right now is not a top priority. So that's why she's fine just being engaged, right? And then, you know, some might argue, then why are you engaged? Because if you're engaged, that means you want to get married.
Well, because there was more trust and more commitment.
Right. But for Nick and Vanessa Lachey, it's like they have a script and they can't deviate. For them to be like, well, if you could get married to her today, would you?
No.
No, his answer is yes. And so he says yes. She says no. Then Vanessa has to go above and beyond and say, well, Nick is ordained.
Stop.
Did you not listen the past 5 minutes? We knew the answers before you even asked. Mm-hmm. So when those type of questions are asked and everyone already knows the answer, do something else.
Yeah, it was. And Antonio says yes. And she could even pretend to say yes. She's like, yeah, no.
No, of course not. Of course I won't. Why are you asking me this dumb question?
It was such a bad position to put her in.
Yes. They are determined to make at least a few people uncomfortable during the reunion, which is just so annoying.
And the audience.
Yes. But they don't have a wedding date yet. They're the only couple that is engaged that does not have a wedding date. Because we move on to Kat and Alex. They're getting married May 10th, 2024.
Whoop, put it in your calendar, folks.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, they're getting married on my birthday. Well, yay.
did that make you like them more?
No. Oh, okay. I don't care about any of these people, to be quite honest.
their segment was really a nothing segment because it really turned into them versus Roxanne. Mm-hmm. Because it was just like, it led to Kat saying, sorry for being such an agreeable listener. Because Roxanne was trying to be a friend and tell her about Alex.
That was where, this is what I was saying when like they were speaking a different language. Like Kat, so I agree that I think Roxanne genuinely does feel like she liked Kat and didn't like Alex and therefore wanted to convey to her, like, you could do better. Like, I don't like Alex for you. And girl to girl, I want to like tell you that. I think that can be true. But I also think that Kat could be like, hey, hang on. You don't know my relationship with Alex. I know that you have, like, you're making it basically me feel like bad for being with him when you don't know my relationship. Mm-hmm. And then Kat, but then when Roxanne says, well, you were agreeing with me at the time. And then she says, you know, you're right. Like, I need to work on not being so much of a, what was the phrase you just called it?
An agreeable listener.
And that's where, like, no matter what the other person say, you just go, yeah, you're right. And it's like, you don't necessarily agree with that. You're just saying it as like a reflex. Mm-hmm. And then Roxanne like called her out for saying, it's like, I think you're missing like what she's talking about. She's saying that when she said that like actions speak louder than words, she wasn't talking about your actions, Roxanne. She was talking about Alex's. She was saying clearly Alex's actions of proposing to me speak louder than whatever you thought was going on in our relationship. But Roxanne was like, what do you mean my action? Like, didn't my actions see that? I'm like, you're just like not on the same page with this conversation.
And you know why? Because they don't know each other. They're not friends.
They don't. Like, this has got to be one of the few casts from like any reality show that has probably never seen each other. Like, since the.
Yeah.
Like, why are you making jokes about like every time someone brought up like, oh yeah, we've got the save the dates. Roxanne's like, I didn't get one. It's like, yeah.
Oh. Every time. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Even poor Ryan had to be like, no, well, we haven't sent them yet.
Sent them out yet. Yeah. Even though, but he said they were getting married in like September.
In September,
like,
yeah.
And they said, that's, well, Friday. 8 months. I was like, yeah. That's pretty soon. Yeah.
We haven't sent them out yet. Quote unquote. But I just thought it was funny how Alex just didn't care about any of that back and forth. And Antonio was just like, if I saw y'all with a flat tire, I would help. So yeah. I'm glad you don't hate them.
Yeah. It was just like another bit of like Antonio and Roxanne. They're this couple who's together who has completely different opinions on everyone. It's like, okay, I guess that's fine. Yeah. Guess you don't care, whatever.
Oh gosh. But yeah, really, Kat and Alex, wish them the best. I guess they're happy and. Yeah, if they like it, I love it. Trey and Raya, they're getting married spring 2025. That's out
James,
there.
James and Ryan.
Destination.
No, Trey and Raya.
Yeah.
Oh, Trey and Raya. I missed it.
Yeah.
Missed it. Two
spring
years?
2025. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's and it's a destination wedding. You would think with a destination wedding, it's less planning, so you can do it sooner.
Yeah, my friends are having a destination wedding in a year. Mm-hmm. Dominican Republic, can't wait for that.
Yeah,
I mean, missed that completely. I was like, oh, they're just dating. they're still dating.
Trey just made it seem like they're fine. Work schedules are tough, but their relationship has been much better since the getting back from the experiment.
Things are good. I literally have nothing to say about them.
The only thing is not even about them was asking Ryan, oh, did you and Trey ever like reach out to each other? Ryan was like, well, I thought about like sliding up on his story. Then Vanessa Lachey decides to out of nowhere. She's like, oh, sliding in the DMs. No, Vanessa. Sliding up on a story is like, oh, okay, I'm gonna react to whatever that story. That's not as intentional as, oh, I'm going to message this person to go into their DMs to have a conversation.
She's like just, so embarrassing.
I appreciate the fact that these couples, at least these two, like James and Ryan, and Ryan and Trey, like seem relatively normal. Like they seem like the kind of people who are like, yeah, I'm not going to like cross a line and try to strike up a friendship with someone that I had like a fake relationship with. Like, no, I'm going to live in my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not trying to become famous. I'm not trying to whatever. I can appreciate that. I definitely think it lends credence to the idea that none of these people were going to have any other outcome than the one that happened though, like from the start. But yeah. And then, Ryan and James, He proposed again. I like that. I like using the proposal in the show as a fake thing. I like that.
He wanted to say a real one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We forgot to talk about Raya. They asked if Raya wanted to have kids again, because of course it's all of our business.
And so it forced her to share this story, her birth trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. From 2 years ago that
she had already shared on the show. Like we didn't like per my previous email, I feel like I've already gotten this point across why I have like concerns about getting pregnant again.
This is example 562 of how they want to make the cast uncomfortable.
And they were like, oh, that's so sad, but it's okay. You can keep trying, bitch. If you don't. I'm sorry. Let's move on. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me on this.
It doesn't even surprise me at this point, which is the saddest part. We just expect that from them now.
Yep. So yeah, James proposed again. They're living together in her parents' house with all her siblings, but they're young. So I guess whatever, they're looking for a house. As she says, it's been good for him because he was an only child. So now he gets to like see how annoying siblings could be. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair. That's a good way to get close to the fam.
When she was talking about like adjusting and living with him, then Vanessa goes, oh, does he stay up all night with the TV on and the lights on and like shading
with
Nick?
Sports Center? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, but then,
I was like, that's oddly specific. Was that Nick who said that?
Literally, I can't remember which segment it was, but she was talking about them and then someone asked about them and then she said, oh, it's not about us. Oh, since when? As Rob Sesternino says, since when?
It's always been about y'all. This is the one part where I was like, having this next segment actually have been on the show would have actually been helpful, because James was like, just like stone face, monotone, so quiet the whole season. Mm-hmm. We never got any personality from him. And this was the one segment where we got a little bit of personality. Samari, did you know what a sounding rod was?
I did not. I went on Urban Dictionary to look it up because I didn't want my Google to be. But they hit the nail on the head. This was nuts bananas to me. They're like, James after dark. I was like, okay, what is it?
I thought it was actually gonna be him when he was living with Raya and just showing him like reading at night, cooking, cleaning, like doing something like that.
They're like, we're gonna expose your whole sex life on national television. But he's the one telling the producers, it's like, oh, mild bondage and stuff like that. I was like, okay, like, but, I you like it? I love it. Live your life. But this is, it's still national television here.
But like him running around in like the apron and stuff, like that was funny. I was like, look, he's smiling. This is funny. Like
I just made him have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Like I thought it was funny for a little bit. I don't know.
But yeah, I'm glad they went ahead and explained it because I had no idea and I did not want to look it up.
Yeah. Very interesting that we found out like after the fact that James is a very sexual person after like his trial marriage with Raya, and she was like begging him
to hold her hand at home.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, because remember how Ryan said that she didn't give him any restrictions?
Yeah.
But maybe she was like, I'm not going to tell you can't do anything. However, I will not be dropping hot wax on you if you hook up with Raya. So if you want to do that in a couple days.
See, because and now it makes sense why he was like, look, it's either we're doing what we're doing now, nothing, or everything. Having sex in the shower because he knows he's what like, he's capable
of. I could hold your hand, Raya, but if I do, there will be a handcuff attached.
He's into some interesting stuff. So I thought that was funny that they felt like they needed to include that to paint a better picture for us.
He was crawling in his skin on that couch, man. He was like,
yeah. It's funny. And I really don't mean to come off as like a Vanessa hater. I don't. But then she goes, oh, Raya, did you know this side of James?
She did say that.
Did you watch the show?
They didn't talk for like 2 weeks. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. But all the couples admit that they're glad they did it, but they wouldn't do it again. They feel changed from the experiment. It's over.
Cool. Great. Glad to hear it. And here is our official pitch. Just bring back queer love.
Please. I know.
We have such rate. Like, we loved that season. Just run it back.
Yeah.
Please.
I don't even... Where did this go wrong? Wait, I know the casting, because wow, these people were dull as all get out. Like, this was bad. This was so incredibly bad. And they might have broken the ultimatum. Like, this season broke the ultimatum, because now I'm kind of like, do I want more ultimatum? Because I don't know. I know I definitely don't want any more Mary to move on. No more Momo. I want queer love. Like they just said, let's get the Menses in here. Let's get some more ladies back. Some non-binary folks. Let's just focus on that, because they need to just scrap this one. Come, Crystal from the Reed already said she would be the host of the
really
next
that would yeah, be she amazing. Did.
She said if they called her, she'd do it. So go hit up Crystal, let her host the Ultimatum Queer Love, and just give us 7 seasons of that, please. Because
exactly,
we don't need this.
Again, I like that this show and Love Is Blind try to find like real people. I get that, who are like might actually get married at the end of this. It's great. I appreciate it. But they have to have a little personality, just like a little bit.
They put all their eggs in the Lisa and Brian basket. And when that curveball came, they were like, whoa, we did not anticipate not having this dynamic couple amongst this group. Now what? They couldn't just send them home. They're like, let's go do it. Let's do it.
I mean, they still got our views, apparently. So,
unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So we did it in under an hour, as we predicted.
We stretched, man.
Surprised we got this long, honestly.
Oh, my gosh. But yes, thank you so much for joining us, Mari. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Mari talks too much. When's the last time you did a podcast in under an hour?
Girl, it hasn't happened in a minute, to tell you. Yeah, this is could have been an email.
Absolutely. What are you up to? Where can people keep up with you?
Of course, every Tuesday, me and Sarah Carradine bring True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP on the Crime Scene Podcast. It's a true crime review podcast where we review true crime documentaries, docuseries, stuff like that. So if you are into true crime documentaries, docuseries, we keep it pretty light. Just go and subscribe to Crime Scene by going to robhasapodcast.com/crimefeed. We're there. We have so much fun. Me and Sarah have amazing guests to talk about not even like really weird, wacky crimes too. So it's fun. Also, me and Chappelle are over on Post Show Recaps with The Connect. And we just finished up wrapping up the Ladies First two-part. We did two-part coverage of Ladies First, the story of women in hip hop, which is also on Netflix. It's a four-part docuseries that was really good. It talks about literally the whole history of women in hip hop, from like women MCs, women like A&R directors, everything. It's a great watch. And then you can go and listen.
Is this the one that didn't have Nicki Minaj?
So that's a lie. Like Nicki Minaj wasn't in it. Like she wasn't a talking head, but they talked about her in in a glowing way. Exactly. Like people are like, Nicki Minaj and Meg aren't in it, so why am I going to watch it? They're in it. They're mentioned in it a few times. So I feel like it got a bad rap before anybody even watched it, but it's really, really good. And I would suggest everybody go watch it and then go listen to me and Chappelle talk about it. Also, I was on the live feed update for Big Brother. I'll be on a few more recaps and stuff. So if you want to hear me talk about Big Brother, you can follow my Twitter account at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And I'll just post every time I'm on Big Brother right there. Wrestling Wrap Up is on hiatus for right now. But if you want to subscribe so you know when we come back, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. I'll also be doing like a few like random things. I was on the Claim to Fame finale podcast earlier this week.
Need to listen to that.
Yeah, it was really fun.
The
finale was great. Me and Chappelle were on with Rob and Jenny. We had so much fun talking about the finale for season two. So definitely go check all of that out.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure anytime we get to podcast together.
Yes.
Mary, what are you up to?
Well, I hear a little show called Love is Blind is having a reunion.
What?
Well, after the altar.
Right. And after the altar show. So we'll be covering that in just a mere matter of hours.
Seriously? Oh my god.
What is that, tomorrow?
No, yeah, it comes Saturday? Out tomorrow. Yeah, so
we'll talk about it probably this week.
Yeah, wow. We'll talk about it at some point.
We'll talk about it sometime soon. And then otherwise, you can follow me at Frail Mary to catch up on everything else I'm doing, mostly tweeting about Big Brother right now. And I'll be on another live feed update pretty soon, I think also this weekend. So yeah, just follow me there to check out whatever else I have going on. What about you, Asia?
Yeah, so y'all can follow me on all social media at Asia Like Asia. That's AYSHA like ASIA. Of course, Big Brother 25 coverage. I was on the Stockwatch roundtable this week. Had a great time talking about Big Brother there. And then, of course, just continuing throughout the season. And then, can't wait to talk some Love is Blind. I think that After the Altar will be better than anything we just watched this past week. So in terms of Netflix reality, because Big Brother has been amazing, so I'm not talking about Big Brother. but anything else I'm up to, I will tweet about it or post about it on Instagram. So thank y'all for so much for listening this season. Even if you just listened and didn't watch, we are there for you. We watched so y'all didn't have to. So thank y'all so much for sticking with us, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye.